want to ask you to turn with me to one of my favorite books in all the Bible. And here are three epistles that mean a great deal to me. And I believe they mean a great deal to all men of God. That is 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And we're going to be looking at 2nd Timothy for a little while here this evening. 2nd Timothy chapter 4. And I just kind of got these on my mind, and I want to share some things out of chapter 4 with you this evening. I'm sure I don't have to tell you by now. You already know I've said it over and over again, and you can see it and read it for yourself, that these are the final words that the Apostle Paul wrote. 2 Timothy was his last epistle. I still believe that Paul probably wrote the book of Hebrews. I could not be dogmatic about that. I'm not real sure that it is. There are so many others who could have written it, the book of Hebrews. But whoever did write it certainly was knowledgeable of Old Testament Scripture, that's for sure. And whoever did write it was certainly writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it just, all of this book, I'm just amazed as I continue to read through it, how it just fits so well together. Everything fits. And there are some places back yonder years ago when I would read it and study it, and it seemed like something just didn't seem to fit there. Didn't seem like it kind of would fit along with other things that was said in other places. Seemed like it was, somewhat different. But then the more that I read it, and the more it seemed the Lord would speak to me, and the pieces of the puzzle would begin to mesh then. They'd come together. And that's God's Word. And of course, the reason I love 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus so much is because this is what is called the pastoral epistles. And the Apostle Paul is charging Timothy, he's charging Titus, and he's also charging all of God's men in this matter of being pastors and evangelists, preaching the Word of God, standing for the Lord, staying with it, not backing up, not backing down, not quitting, not throwing the towel in. And the Apostle Paul, I'm glad not only did he tell us in the Word how to do it, but he also led by example. He was a man who went all the way. And when we read his final testimony in 2 Timothy chapter 4, then we see that, because he is speaking of the end of his ministry now that has come up. The end of his life upon this earth. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And so as far as he was concerned, evidently the Lord had let him in on the fact that he was about to leave this world. And we've been talking much about death here lately, and about each one of us who are seniors and we're growing older and getting nearer to our leaving this world. And I think that this is something that all of us ought to bear in mind. I don't know how it is for you, but for me as a preacher, it seems the closer I get to the end, the more difficult that life becomes for me. And I began to experience things that I wasn't expecting to experience, and some disappointments and brokenheartedness and tears that, you just wasn't expecting to happen. But that's all part of it. And I think that, this is one thing that seems to get us more excited about leaving. I don't think that we ought to become cowards and look for exit signs and try to get out of the battle, get out of the warfare. But there are a lot of things that is very disappointing that's taking place in our day. And it does get rough on the people of God, especially they who have been in the battle for so many years. And it's not just me, it's not just the preachers, it's the people, the lay people as well. All of God's people. We all have these battles that we have to deal with. This is something, he said, count it not strange. That's what Paul said. Don't count it strange when you're going through these diverse temptations and such, he said, your brethren, they're going through them as well. And so it's not just me. It's all of us, all of God's people. And only the dear Lord knows what is yet before us, before we leave this world. So I just want to be ready for it. And I ask God, I've got to where the way things have been going, when I get up in the morning in my beginning prayer, I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to be surprised with before this day is done. And I just ask you to help me to be ready for it. I just want to be ready for whatever it is and face it like a Christian and be the man of God that you want me to be. And I don't ask you to help me to stand up to be some kind of champion that other people will look at. I just ask you to help me to behave myself under the all-seeing eye of God, the watchful eye of God. I don't want to offend my Lord. And so I think that we will all probably find ourselves accused of things that maybe we're not guilty of, or even accused of things we are guilty of. And that's all right as long as the accusers are also praying for us and praying that the Lord will help us to be more what God would have us to be. But I want to preach the Word, and I want to live what I preach, and I want to love God's people and try to be there for them. And I'm grateful that this man, the final words of God's man are declared here, and God saw fit to have them in our Bible. So let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse number 1. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Now, this is a charge that God has given all of his people. This is what God has told us to preach. And if we preach anything other than the word of God, then we're not doing what God has told us to do. And if we take the word of God and water it down any, we're not doing what God has told us to do. If we make it softer and easier for people to accept, then we're not doing what God's told us to do. He told us to preach the word. And he told us to tell people like it is. He told us not to hold back. Now, when he says, I charge you therefore, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to judge the quick, that is the living and the dead. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to take the living and the dead, put them together, and he's going to judge us. He said, you preachers are going to be judged whether or not you preach the word, whether or not you stood upon the word, whether or not you told the people what I had to say about every matter. You've got to face them. You've got to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And when you say, thus saith the Lord, you better make absolutely certain that you're saying what God said, and no more than that and no less than that. And so this really causes me to pray and to ask God to help me to be very careful about the statements that I make in the pulpit, because I know that one day I'm going to have to meet God with it. I want to get it right. There are times that I go home and I realize I didn't read something exactly right, or I used the wrong word, the wrong Greek word or whatever, and I went the wrong way. And I'll be honest with you, I feel bad about it. I mean, I really do. I want it to be right, Brother Mark. I want it to be right. I want to tell you the truth. And I certainly don't want to deliberately be dishonest with anybody just for the sake of pleasing them and just for the sake of not because I don't want to run them off. And I don't like to see anybody leave. I don't like that. And it's very disappointing, and it really breaks my heart. And I don't like to go through things like that. But it happens. And I cannot water down the Word of God to make it more acceptable just so we can get people to stay. Because eternity-bound souls are in the balances here. And we've got to give account to God one day. He's the one that I've got to stand before and you've got to stand before. And we've got to give account. We preachers who are here, Brother Ronnie and Brother Mark and myself and any other preachers, we've got to remember that we're going to give account to God for every message we preach. For everything that every time we have stood to expound the Scriptures. And we're going to have to give account to God for our motive. Why we did that. Why we did it the way that we did it. And such. Everything's got to be right. And then I want to remind the rest of you that you're going to have to give account to God for listening to the messages. And how you respond to them. And whether you take them serious or not. Whether you understand that's not the word of Brother Tommy, Brother Mark, Brother Ryan. It's the word of God. And this is God who is telling me to do this. And so I must bow to the will of God. And I must honor the word of God and take it as the word of God and not as the word of man. And so this charge here is hanging over us. It is a charge for the preacher to declare the word. And I believe it is equally a charge for the people who listen to bear record that this is the Word of God and this is God, which is revealing to me God's will for my life. And so I'll give account to God for preaching it. You'll give account to God for what you do with it. That's the way it works. He said in verse 2 to us, he said, preach the Word, be instant. In season, out of season, what does that word instant mean? It means that we are to live what we preach, and we are to preach the Word of God, whether it's in season at a time when people are living according to the Word of God, or in a season when they're not living according to the Word of God, and the Word does not mean that much to them. Whether people want it, whether they're hungry for it and thirsty for it, that makes it easier to preach it when you can tell that the people are getting it, that they really want it. They want the Word of God as it is and they appreciate it. It's a lot easier to give it to people when they're opening the mouth of their heart for it. But even if they don't, he said, preach it anyway. Be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready. That's what he means by that word instant. Be ready to do it. And I think that that also means that you and I are to be perpetual in reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures. We're not to just do that when we are facing a time that we are to preach. But we ought to be doing that daily, as often as we possibly can, give ourselves to the Word of God. Always be instant, be ready. If you're called on to preach, to teach the Word of God. And I believe that if we will stay in the Word of God more, then we'll stay out of the Antichrist world more. The more we are in the Word of God, when I give myself more to the Word of God, I hadn't got that much time for TV. I hadn't got that much time for sports and entertainment and things like that. And I'm not saying that there's never any time for family time together and enjoying the outdoors together, fishing together, whatever. I believe that's appropriate and that's good. But I do believe that our main concern ought to be to keep our souls fed upon the Word of God, so that we will have something to communicate to other people, to share with others, and help the people of God. So I think that that's what he means by being instant, in season and out of season. Always prepared, whether it's time to preach or not. I think it's always good to have the Word on your heart, on your mind, something in particular that's moving you. There've been times I didn't know that I was going to be preaching. I had no idea I was going to be preaching. and I met up with somebody. I'm thinking of one guy in particular. I met up with him, and he and I were talking, and before I knew it, I was preaching. And I couldn't help it. I was preaching, and I could tell that it was God. God was giving it to me to give to that young man. And he listened. He listened intently. And it was affecting him. It was touching him. God was moving on him, I believe. And so, sometimes that preaching's one-on-one. We see plenty of that in the Holy Scriptures. Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 down in the desert. The Lord Jesus preaching to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, one-on-one. Preaching to the woman at the well, the woman in Sychar in Samaria, chapter 4 of John. Preaching to the man who was paralyzed, that was there beside on the pool of Bethesda, that couldn't walk. Jesus preaching to him, John chapter 5. I mean, all through the Scriptures, we find that one-on-one preaching. I believe if you and I will be ready, God will give us opportunities we didn't even know would lie ahead of us to preach the Word of God. I'd rather preach one-on-one and have the touch of God on me than to preach to a church full of folk and not have the touch of God on me. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you, and these preachers, he'll vouch for what I'm saying. This pulpit is a wonderful place to be when God's touching you, when God's moving on you and helping you, and you feel His presence. And you ain't scared of nothing, brother. You'll look the devil right in the eye and tell him what the Bible says. And friend, you enjoy preaching it, and it moves you greatly, and you want to worship God and praise the Lord. There ain't nothing like it. And knowing that the people of God are being fed, our sinners are being convicted, and you can tell, there's just something about it, you can tell. That's how it is when you're in the pulpit and the touch of God's on you. But folks, I'd rather be any place else than in this pulpit without the touch of God on me. I'd rather be, and you can believe this or not, I'd rather be in a dentist chair than standing in this pulpit without the touch of God on me. This is a mighty lonely place if you can't tell God's with you. And I'm going to tell you something else, and I say this for the benefit of these men, these preachers. Sometimes you have prayed and you have studied, and you've tried to get ready. You've tried to do what is right. And you come to the pulpit and began to preach, and it just don't seem like things are working out just right for you. And you struggle. Boy, that's a rough struggle, ain't it? You struggle as you're trying to get the word out. You want to help people. You want to feed people. You love the people. You want to give them something, but it just don't seem to be working out. And I can't tell you I always understand why things like that happen. And I have kind of rolled it over and over in my mind at times and thought, well, maybe the Lord put it that way just because I was getting a little bit too relaxed in just, you know, presuming, you know, I've prayed, I've studied, I've got ready, now here I am, I've made myself available. And maybe that's good, that's enough. And I get a little bit too relaxed. Maybe God's just reminding me, son, you can't do it without me. Maybe that day, instead of you being taught, maybe He's teaching me, maybe He's telling me some things that I need. If you, as the saying goes, if you catch my drift. But God, I want to give the Word of God to you. And if I can also say this, I do not intentionally, I've been around too long now, and I know better. I don't come in the pulpit to intentionally make anybody mad. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to come across as, well, I took the stand that I ought to take and they can like it or lump it. I don't feel that way. I want you to like it. I want you to love God's Word. And I don't want to intentionally hurt anybody. I just want to give you the Word of God because that's what God has called me to do and that's what He's charged me to do. And I believe that that's what you want. I believe that our people here want the Word of God. and want it like it is. And sometimes it may rub us wrong, every one of us. It may rub us the wrong way. But if it does, then we try to learn from it. And we try to obey God. I want the Lord to give me His Word. If it knocks every bit of the starch out of me, I don't need any starch in me. I want to be right with God. And God loves me enough. He's not going to do like I've done my children and done my grandchildren. He's not going to spoil me. Amen. I've done that. And I don't think I'm the only one that's done it, but I've done that. But you know, when it comes to right and wrong, God don't compromise. He's just going to give it to us just like it is. The Apostle Paul said, Timothy, I'm fixing to leave. And he said, when I go into my Father's house, he said, I want you to fall in behind me and take my place. You've been my son's student all these years, and you're a young man, and don't be ashamed of my chain, and don't you be afraid. You take up the Word of God. My greatest concern is that God's Word is preached. After I'm gone, I want you to preach it. I want you to rise to the occasion and be the man of God that God has called you to preach, called you to be. He said, preach the Word, Timothy, preach it. Keep it going. He loved those Ephesian elders over in Acts chapter 20 when he got ready to leave. He told them he was leaving. They loved him. He told them, Brother Bill, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. He said, I preached it. I'll preach the gospel to you. I preached all theology to you, eschatology. He said, I preached it all, everything. I preached it to you. I hadn't shunned to do that. And he told them something that broke their heart. He said, I probably won't ever see you anymore in this life. And you probably won't ever see me anymore. That's a man, they claim that the Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys may have traveled as much as 300,000 miles. And that was without our modern day of transportation and the like. Somebody said, never has had so many, did so much with so little. While here today we have so much and we're doing so little with it. But that's what they went for. They went for God. And Paul said, I love you people. He said, you probably won't ever see my face again. And you know what they did? They came and put their arms around him, one after the other, and cried and wept. And the Bible said, especially because he said, you won't ever see my face again, not in this world. And they loved him. He loved them, and he preached the Word. They loved him, and they received the Word. Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma, he was ordained to go and to preach. He had presented his heart to, I think it was a Congregational Christian Society, I forget now what they were called. But on that same day that he did that and he was ready to go, he found the love of his life in Ann Bolin, I believe was her name. And he fell in love instantly with her. And she was a godly young lady. And he wrote a letter to her dad. After him and her got to know one another, he wrote a letter to her dad. And he said, sir, he said, I wonder if you would be willing to give your daughter, Anne, up to be my wife and to go with me to Burma to serve in the missions there in the spread of the gospel for the good of eternity-bound souls. And he said, sir, I must tell you that you will probably never see her face again. I don't expect to ever come back to America. I'm going to go and spend myself wholly and completely there in Burma and spread the gospel. Now, if you would have got a letter like that, how would you have answered it? How would I have answered that? You know what that daddy said? He was a godly man. He wrote back, he said, I'm going to leave that up to her. And Ann said, yes. And she went with him. They were married and they went to Burma. And her dad never saw her again in this world. She died after a while there. I think maybe 7 or 8 years. And was buried there. Adoniram Judson did come back to America one time, briefly. And then he went back. And that's where he stayed till he died. And there are many stories just like that that's been told down through the years of how people used to take God serious and took the Word of God serious and the spread of the gospel serious and missions serious. Now everything else among church folk are talked about except these things. So many other things are focused upon except such things as this. And because I've read those stories like that, that's one of the reasons that you've heard me say, I had rather my children, my grandchildren, be on the other side of the world, serving God, spreading the gospel, being missionaries, and loving God, and worshiping God, and working in those foreign churches, learning foreign languages, whatever's necessary to be in the will of God. I'd rather them be there. And even today I keep praying, God, I want them to serve you. I want them to love you supreme. And Lord, if you save them and use them somewhere else, and I don't ever get to see them in this life again, so be it. I'd rather it be that way than for them to lift their eyes in hell one day. I would never see them again. That'd be the end of it. Never again. Somebody asked R.C. Sproul, would you please preach a message on what we are going to do in heaven? How can we be happy in heaven knowing that we've got some children or grandchildren or husband or wife burning in hell at that very moment? Would you please tell me how we can be happy in heaven? And he did. He did preach a message on it. And I really believe, and I believed this before I heard him preach it, but I do believe that the key to that, the main key to that is this. When we get to heaven, we are going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was it John Wesley's mother? Well, they had about 15 children, I think. And she used to have family devotions with them. And she told her children, if she was the one, I'm not sure, but if she was the one, she told them, she would give them the gospel message. And then she'd say to them, if any of you die without Christ and God takes you and puts you in hell, she said, I'm going to say amen. You say, that's hard. No, it's not hard. It's learning that God's going to make Christians out of us. And that we're going to be so Christ-like that we're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here. Not my will, but thy will be done. But that even more makes me want to be a godly witness to my family. I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved. I can't stand the thoughts of them dying without Christ. I can't stand the thoughts of them going to hell. I want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want any of them to just be religious. If any of them are just religious, I want them to realize it and know it, because that's not going to get them into heaven. Amen. I'm not going to be happy with them just becoming a member of the church and just being baptized and all that. I want them to know God. That's what I'm praying about that over yonder. That's what I'm praying about her. I just don't take it for granted that if they say they're saved, they're saved. I pray about each one of my children. I say, God, each one of them has made a profession of faith. But I said, I know that there's one of them who says, I'm lost. I know I'm not saved. The other three says they are. But this one says I'm not. And I said, thank you, Lord, for telling this one, for making him to understand that he's still lost, Because they can't get saved till they realize they're lost. Nobody gets saved till they, before you ever say, "I'm saved, I'm saved," you're first going to say, "I'm lost, I'm lost." Spurgeon said that. I have to say right now, there ain't none of them living like it. And that concerns me. When I get to heaven, I'd like to find out every one of them knows God. But as long as I'm here, I won't know for sure. I don't know for absolute certainty about the woman sitting right here on this end. I believe she's saved. I strongly believe she's saved. I'd put it up in the 90%. I'd put her up in the 90% category. Ain't about 2 or 3% of her I'm not sure about. Amen. Oh, me. But there's a whole lot more percentage in me I'm not sure about. Amen. I'm still, as the little child song says, working on me. God's still working on me, and I'm still working on me. I do have a lot of confidence in my wife, and it'd be a tremendous letdown. And I've been let down by people before. I really thought, surely that person is saved. Surely that man's called to preach. Really thought it strongly. Then something happens and you can't help but wonder. Does that take your love away from them? No. No. I've got a parental love that you can't destroy. And I've got a grandparent love you can't destroy. No matter what they do, they're mine. And I love them. And I can't forsake them. No matter what they do, I can't forsake them. But I'm not, I don't want a vain presumption. I don't want to just presume. I want to, praise God, if any of them's lost, I want them to be saved. And right now, four acts like four's lost. And so I'm begging God to save them. And even if any of them has ever truly known the Lord, they still need to be saved from this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1. They need to be saved from this present evil world. I've been saved dozens of times. There have been a lot of times I've been saved. And I'm not talking about that initial meeting God that's sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never lost that. But I'll tell you, God's come to my rescue many a time. Hallelujah! That's wonderful, ain't it? Praise God. I'm feeling it more right now. Amen. I praise the Lord. About quitting time, but I'm so very grateful. I want to get, like Paul said in verses 6 through 8, and I'm just going to read it and quit. He said, after he's telling all this business about preaching and how important that it is to preach, and all these preachers with itching ears that don't know God, and he warns them about that, but he said in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." I don't know how many times I've read this and how many times you've read it, but I don't ever get tired of it. I love this part. I'd like to be able to say this, wouldn't you? "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." I don't see Paul wringing his hands here. I don't see him afraid. I believe God's grace is upon this great man of God. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I don't sense any fear here, do you? I really don't. I see a man of courage. Well, I praise God for the Apostle Paul. I mean, if I've got a man hero, it's him. He's my hero, and I praise the Lord for him. Don't tell him I said so, but old brother Larry Pike's another hero of mine. Seeing how he come home from the war like he did and the shape he is in, he's been a good friend. And I've got some other heroes. But oh, the Apostle Paul, he preached. He lived right. He said, fighting's without, fear's within. He said, I've got all of that. He said, I've been through it, but he said, you know, I believe they killed him. I believe he was stoned to death before this time right here. I believe he actually died when they stoned him outside Lystra, the city there. They stoned that man. They looked at him. Somebody said, he's dead. And in a little while, God raised him up. And he got up after being hit with all them stones. He got up. I believe the Lord raised him from the dead. Some say, I don't know that this is true. I kind of doubt it. Some say that's where he had that third heaven experience. I don't know if that's true or not. We said, I know a man who 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know, God knoweth, has caught up to the third heaven. And you know how it goes. And I don't know that that's where it happened, but some people say that's where it happened. I don't know. But I do know one thing. He suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that if there is a seat near the throne, he's probably going to be sitting on it. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a great man of God. And yet, you know why he was so great? One reason he was so great is because he said, I am the least of all the apostles. And he didn't just say that. He meant it. He said, I am the least of all the saints. And he said, I am the chief sinner. That was the apostle Paul. That's the spirit and attitude he had. Great man of God. Final words of God's man. There's so much wonderful things that he said there. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for us as we've been trying to get ready.